Hi, everyone. You are listening to the Think Tank podcast. This is the final episode in a series we're doing on bridging the generation gaps. And today's episode is all about Generation Z. My name is Erica Hamlin. I'm a licensed professional counselor and life coach, and I'm joined by Angela Bell, communications director, and Lynn Bortek, licensed clinical social worker. So today we're talking about Generation Z, and let's be honest, we just don't really know when they were born or like what are the beginning years, what are the ending years. It's all conflicting information on the internet. I don't know who makes these rules, but generally speaking, Generation Z is somewhere between the end of the 1990s or 2000 and ends somewhere around 2012.
Defines my generation. I think looking at it objectively, the internet age is by far like technology and technological advancement. It's like, I mean, I guess you could say that for every generation, but living in the internet age, I think is the biggest factor that's changing all of our decisions or shaping who we are. So for example, I think like having a social media is actually, or having a smart device is like completely, like that's becoming a part of our psyche or a part of our identity. Definitely the first generation to experience that. I mean, experience growing up in that at least.
I think we're all becoming a lot more accepting and diverse. I think with like, as the diversity grows, we become more accepting and like it's inevitable to avoid it. And we're all coming together, which creates a lot of equality or like new waves of it that we've never seen before or ever thought would be possible. And it's all happened so fast. I just remember in high school, which was like 5-ish years ago. And I remember I was scared to like come out as gay because I was just scared. But now these kids are like able to come out and it's really beautiful to see, as well as like the Black Lives Matter movement. I think we are all very passionate, and regardless of what side you're on, we're all driven by like passion. I don't know, I think we're all very passionate as a whole and way more conscious than any other generation has been, and it's just gonna keep getting better.
I think that the movements that are going on these days and the things from a lot of different standpoints, politically, environmentally, it could almost feel like probably how it felt for the boomers, that they were really making change happen. And it almost seems, I think, Erica, you mentioned this before, like a cycle, whereas back in the boomer time frame, change was needed. And it was something that that generation really needed. And I think it drove change and made change happen. And I feel like a lot of the things that have happened between Generation X and Generation Y have driven the need for more change now. And I think Gen Z is really seeing that. They may not, you know, really be aware that the boomer generation was going through very similar things and having similar movements back in the day that, you know, sadly almost seem like they're repeating themselves or have grown from a different need. And now they're, you know, standing up and supporting these causes.
So it's kind of interesting because they lack the experience of knowing that much about what came before them. So while they are, in fact, inventing the world technologically and they're completely their digital natives, a lot of the social things that they're into, like being very green and being very concerned about climate change and all of that kind of stuff, is not all necessarily true, because there were other generations that had really strong social passions. But maybe the climate change thing is a Gen Z feature.
Yeah, I do think the climate change probably is more distinct to the younger generations because of the fact that the technology of the world, the machinery of the world is causing more of a climate change to occur. So it's obviously becoming more of a focus for these generations.
Yeah. And I think the LGBTQ plus piece, I think, is really interesting and exciting too, because with more and more people coming out and being authentically themselves and coming out to friends and family, I think that the acceptance rate for people who identify as LGBTQ+ has been a really rapid change over the last couple years, 20 or so years, or longer, really.
But I think that that's a really good point, because like I was listening to Chuck Schumer last night, who is certainly a baby boomer. He made mention of his daughter and her wife. And that's something that as a baby boomer, until maybe the last 10 years, would have just not been said. So that is definitely a big change. Definitely. And the acceptance, just the acceptance of it.
Yeah, I agree. I think the technology aspect here is also a little bit different than the Gen Y. With Gen Z, they're actually born in a time when they may have had a tablet or smartphone to watch a show when they were small children, or to play a game when they were small children, or in some cases even given a device when they were very, very small. So born around that from birth, really. It was part of their education. More and more technology classes are integrated. There's some students, some schools that have laptops. Actually, I think a lot of public schools are really starting to implement laptops. Before pandemic timeframe, even, a lot of schools were using laptops, and it's just become a part of their lives. And on top of that, the social media aspect, being able to create a social media account and have your presence out there on the internet. Obviously, that has to be monitored much more by parents, and it makes a parent's job very different from what it was when they were young. I remember my daughter wanting to have a social media account when she was very, very young. And, you know, we had to go back and forth with that because I was not comfortable with it. But it's something that I think it changes the mentality of how we do things, how quickly we gather information, and how people really view you from your community online.
Yeah, I mean, parenting late Gen Zers, so very young Gen Zers, I mean, they have technology as one of the specials in their school, just like you take art class or drama class, music class. Technology is one of those. And so as young as kindergarten, you know, my daughter was learning about, you know, safety rules online and not what information to share and what information not to share. And they're learning coding. So they're learning things that, you know, again, I learned how to type on a typewriter. So it's a little bit of a challenge keeping up with as somebody who did not grow up with all of this technology. And I think we're trying to figure it out as parents. I know that there is a new campaign, Wait Until 8th, which is encouraging parents not to give their children a smartphone until at least 8th grade to help with some of these transitions and these changes in their development. You know, to switch gears really quickly, one thing that I read that I thought was really interesting is how technology has contributed to social anxiety, because young people are so used to interacting online that when they are dating or trying to meet somebody face-to-face, that there's so much anxiety about that face-to-face interaction and that in-person interaction that they're drinking a lot of alcohol to try and manage the anxiety. So it's really interesting, that ripple effect of the interaction being predominantly online.
Yeah, because when they finally meet in person, it can be kind of awkward because it's not, you know, you're there as a whole person. It's not just your face on FaceTime or whatever. You're there as a person. You have to manage your entire being. And it may feel, I could understand where it would feel very awkward. I think that Gen Zers may be really prone to FOMO, like fear of missing out, because everything is online, everything is on social media. And so they're the first to know if something happens and they aren't part of it and wish that they were. So that I think that FOMO can be a really big factor in their lives. They're comparing themselves to other people all the time.
Yeah, I mean, because it's really social media driven, right? And they're young and they're seeing their friends. Or, I mean, it was one thing in high school if like all the cool kids went to a party or even my friends went to a party and they left me out, I wouldn't necessarily find out about it unless I overheard somebody talking about it. But nowadays, it's like if everybody went to a party and you weren't invited, you're going to see it online. You're going to see photos, maybe video, people posting about it, and you'll be sitting at home like, womp, womp, that you didn't get to go. Well, and then you have this idealistic version of what people are putting online. And so there is this impression, it's easy to get the impression that everybody else has it together or they're so glamorous or their lives are so amazing. And here you are in your life that seems not so amazing because you're dealing with reality.
Yeah. And I think you definitely have to watch out for signs of depression that could result from that FOMO.
For sure. And we're not even talking about yet the effects of the pandemic, which are definitely going to be visible on this generation. They're very much being affected by it.
I think on the flip side, though, that, you know, this generation has so much to offer to the workforce. I think their technology skills and what they're bringing to the table is, I mean, it's amazing. I work actually with a couple of Gen Zers who are part of a special program at our company, and they never fail to impress me. They're always, one, extremely motivated and energized to help out and do new projects, but they always bring up these different platforms that we can use to connect everybody and to connect the project, to share documents online. And I think they really add a lot of value to a workforce and to a team.
I've had jobs for sure that's kind of gone the whole gamut of generations. I think a pro is just working with people of other generations. I mean, typically there's a common goal. So I think you're more inclined to get along with people of varied generations if you're working in a multi-generational workplace as opposed to just working with peers. And I think, yeah, the big, again, like internet age, that is creating the biggest gap between generations and like, I think that's why there is such a almost like a hostility between certain generations and others. Just how rapidly we're advancing as a species and like what we grew up with and then versus what they're growing up with when it comes to technology and like just things that we grew up with and maybe take for granted that a generation before didn't have, or even vice versa. Not saying that constantly generations are getting more and more. I definitely think there's something that has been lost, maybe in like boomer and then the generation right after that. Just, I mean, not saying that technological advancement is always good. I think there's a lot being lost and taking the human out of like interaction or a lot of social interaction.
I used to be a camp counselor for 4 years and I was watching kids, taking care of kids from ages like 7 to as old as 16. And that by far was like the best experience I've had. And the cons are still pros at the end of the day, because kids will teach you more than anyone else ever could. And I currently work with people aged 18 to until they want to retire. And there are a lot of pros. I feel like there's a lot to be learned from everybody. And there are some like differences in the generations. I get along with everyone, but there is a lot of like, I don't know, just like differences in perspective and passion.
So it's interesting to hear, you know, from both speakers that they think that they're thinking there's a lot to learn from even younger generation that's just now emerging, right? That's just now being born, and the older generation as well. And then also acknowledging the conflict that there is, that exists between the older generations and their generation. I think there are going to be differences, and it can be challenging to, at times, to find ways for those generations to all work successfully together. And I think that's part of the challenge that employers face from time to time. I don't think it's always the case. I think a lot of times it works out really, really well. But there are those times when it really can be challenging. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts or tips for things that people can do to try to help improve those working relationships.
I mean, I think just for one, being patient and being understanding and just being curious about you know, somebody who may come from a different generation, and not assuming that just because you know something that the other person knows it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. And I think a lot of people are going to disagree on different points, not only from generation to generation, but from people to people. It may seem to stand out a little bit more from generation to generation. And I think, you know, sometimes we have to agree to not agree and understand that there are going to be differences in opinions and differences in thoughts. But that, like you said, being curious and learning more can only help us grow and work better together and collaborate.
Right.
That sounds true. And I think it's great that she has a respect for people younger also when she mentions that you can learn so much from children. That's certainly true.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I remember when I was, I was feeling down one day and my daughter, she was a young little girl at the time. And she said, I was just feeling old. And this was a long time ago, so I know I wasn't that old, but I still felt that way. And she was just six or so, and she said, "Mommy, you're never old if you can still have fun." And I love that. I love that quote, and I wrote it down in my journal back in the day, and I constantly think of it even today because it's so true, right? Age is a number, and our spirit and our intentions and our mind almost sometimes can seem ageless.
Yeah. And I think remembering that really in the end, we have more in common than those things that are different and separate us.
Agree.
I also liked how the other speaker mentioned that, you know, technology isn't always a good thing. As we mentioned before, in some cases, technology is cutting down our human interaction and is cutting down some of that time that we spend really talking with each other in person. And I think there's so much to be gained by a conversation in person, body language, watching someone smile. You can only get so much through video. I know with the pandemic these days, we're definitely having to find new ways to work around meeting in person. But I think, you know, practicing social distancing and using the appropriate masks and things like that, we should still take advantage of trying to see people in person when and where we can safely. It's funny. I know even myself, I'm guilty of texting people too much because sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't feel like talking. I'll just text. And before I know it, I'm like, you know, five or six texts in and I'm thinking, wow, well, why don't I just pick up the phone and call this person and, you know, talk to them and make it an easier conversation and probably get a little bit more value out of it from talking to them on the phone.
Yeah, I was listening to somebody who was a manager, I think, in a podcast getting interviewed. And she was talking about supervising younger people and encouraging them just to get on the phone and connect with somebody on the phone as opposed to sending emails. And the person had resistance to that because they weren't used to talking on the phone. So I think learning how to connect with people, finding those connections however you can, but as much as possible, trying to interact face-to-face, voice-to-voice, video-to-video, those connections are so important.
I couldn't agree more.
There's pros too, though. I mean, to the technology. I know a lot of companies are using group texting and things like that. Definitely might be quicker than sending a group email where, you know, you have to wait for somebody to actually get the email. You know, when you're texting someone, it's right on the phone, it's instantaneous, things like that. I know they're doing different things with payroll and stuff through different kinds of banking cards and things like that. So there's a lot of neat options that have come up with the technology as well.
You know, when all is said and done, and we've listened to all of these people from different generations, I think the bottom line is we all have a lot to learn from each other. And the key is to keep in mind that we're all probably a little bit more the same than we are different, but we can definitely learn from our differences.
So no matter what generation you're a part of, we hope that you enjoyed this series on bridging the generational gaps. Join us next month when we will talk about how to worry less and enjoy more. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.